This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Second and final hour, Jones and Keith, WEEI, Dan Ball, Justin Turpin in for the guys, bringing you in to the new year and doing so in style, or whatever we consider that, with your calls at 617-779-7937. We're doing our year in review for the teams in Boston sports. We just wrapped up our conversation on the Bruins, and we're getting to the Boston Red Sox. But before we do that, Mark is in Medford on the Bruins. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call, guys. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
So this Bruins team, are they better than last year at this point in the season? Absolutely. But right now, over this six-game stretch, they look like a team that can't get out of their own way. They're their own worst enemy right now. Too many mistakes, too many penalties, and everything. It's all self-inflicted. They can beat these teams they're playing. They're just making way too many mistakes.
Mark, thank you for the call. And that calls to mind something that Scott McLaughlin wrote on the website after the Bruins' most recent game. The numbers, they've been shorthanded four or more times in five of these six losses. They've now been shorthanded 152 times this season, 21 more than any other team. They've surrendered at least one power play goal in nine of their last 10 games. Their penalty kill, that ranked top 10 in the league earlier this season, has slipped to 19th thanks to a measly 70% kill rate over the last 10 games. You partner that with being ranked 31st in expected goals against and 28th in high danger chances, and some good and then mediocre and then not so good play from your goaltending, and you just, unfortunately, Terp, you don't have enough talent to be a lazy or undisciplined team. You need to have all your details buttoned up if you have the kind of skill that the Boston Bruins do this season, and they're just not doing that recently.
Carelessness kills any sports team, especially ones that are not as talented. And we see that now with the Celtics. We see that with the Bruins. These guys are obviously in that transition year, like we were just talking about it. And when they aren't taking care of the puck, when they're turning it over, when they're committing penalties, that's when you start to get in trouble.
Yep.
And that's when the talent is not good enough to overcome that stuff. So you have to be better in that department. And I think Scott did a great job on that column. It's like, he's absolutely right. The careless penalties are killing them.
And that's a job for Marco Sturm. That's a job for your leaders. You simply have to correct that. And you're also running into an interesting kind of schedule crunch, because the next month or so leading into the Olympics, you're going to play a lot of hockey. And if you fall out of it before the Olympic break, you then have about a week before the trade deadline that you then have to make decisions on your roster. You need to try to put yourself into a more comfortable spot over the next, call it, 6 weeks or so before the Olympics, because then the schedule just gets a lot tighter and you're running out of room quickly to be competitive. Okay, so we'll leave the Bruins conversation there, because the Boston Red Sox are a team that make a lot of people in this area tear their hair out. So in the beginning of 2025, we were coming off of the Red Sox acquisition of Garrett Crochet. That was the real headline news that was happening for the Red Sox. Now we're coming off of an offseason, or we're in the midst of an offseason, where the biggest additions have been Sonny Gray and Wilson Contreras, who have replaced, at the current moment, Alex Bregman and Lucas Giolito. So you have an offseason right now where you've essentially stood pat. You've made a lot of moves, but you've stood pat just in terms of the MLB talent that you have. I'm painting with a broad brush, but that's kind of just how I perceive your talent. While other teams have gotten better, you had a great season in 2025. So I'm willing to say that the Red Sox are in better shape in 2025, but it's incremental growth for the Red Sox for me, because you still have the same concerns with the front office, you still have the same concerns with ownership, and you still have a roster that's good, but it's 85 wins good. It's not 95 wins good to me. So I think you're in a better spot, but I feel like there's a fan base that is just as frustrated now as they were 365 days ago.
Well, I think part of the problem is, right, is the fan base maybe got a little bit too wishful and was thinking Joe Ryan and Pete Alonso.
Yeah.
Instead, you get
God
Sonny
forbid.
Gray and Pete, and Wilson Contreras,
right.
Which they're good additions on their own, but this team needs more. I mean, if Sonny Gray is the Lucas Giolito replacement, fine. He's a high strikeout guy. He's a veteran that I think could succeed here. Same thing with Contreras. They needed a bat. They got it. In first base last year, Abraham Toro started 77 games for you. And that he did a great job for about a month
in
June.
He was great. Yeah.
But that wasn't enough. So you get more sure there by getting Contreras. So I like it. On their own, they're good moves. But what people were expecting, not as much. And especially when you consider, and it all kind of comes back to this, the Devers trade last year because of the money. And you enter last season with both Devers and Bregman on this team. And you could be going into opening day with neither of them. That's inexcusable. Like, that cannot happen. And now you might be forced to overpaying Bregman, where you probably wouldn't have had to do that if you got on this a little bit earlier. But now you're probably going to have to overpay.
So are they better or are they worse as we sit here today?
I think tiny bit better.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
I tell you what, I considered the Devers trade, but for some reason hearing you say it out loud just changed my mind. They may be worse right now. So just thinking position by position.
Are you talking about from the beginning of last season?
From the beginning of the calendar year.
Yeah, then probably they are.
So
they're definitely worse.
Oh, Jackson, definitely.
Yes.
Care to expound, or you just want to make the statement?
No, I mean, you said that they probably, you said that, you know, to kind of change your mind, they are 100% worse. They don't have Devers. They don't have any. Yeah, they're worse.
Yeah, 100, that's a fair point.
Sorry.
I agree, and so I want to go a bit deeper on that. So, catching position, you started the year with Connor Wong as your starter, Carlos Narvaez as your backup. I think you're in better shape with what you got from Carlos Narvaez this year. I think you're better there.
They are so fortunate they got what they got out of Carlos Narvaez last
year.
Imagine they didn't get that out of him. They would have been screwed. And he was great, but just looking at based off his career, you'd expect a little bit of a regression. Like he was incredible last year. Thankfully, because they would have been in a lot of trouble, but you feel good about Narvaez. Like he was great for him last year.
Except for
the catcher's interference.
That was an issue. And that also seems to be a fundamental issue with the organization. Like Jason Varitek tells him to put
try to steal strikes.
Right. Yeah. Which I would have to look in the numbers a bit deeper to know if it's successful in doing that or not. I know he's regarded as one of the better defensive catchers in the league. But so yeah, I think there's you also play the wheels off of him. So you need to have a backup catcher who can play you 60 games, I'd say.
Well, they want Kyle Teal back. So they're working on it.
Can you imagine?
That'd be so bizarre if they brought him back.
Like, you are so scared. This bothers me to no end about this team, and I've expressed this before, but they are so scared of making a mistake or exploring something unknown. Think about it. The moves that they've made are with their former leader of their baseball operations department.
A team that's trying to gut it a little bit here, too.
Yes, a 78-win team you're taking players from last year.
And they're good players.
Right, but they are good players. They are good players. Don't get me wrong. Sonny Gray is a rental. Wilson Contreras is a first baseman. They're good players. But there is so little risk. Sonny Gray is on a one-year deal. Wilson Contreras is locked up for a couple years, but you got money back in that contract. You have not explored, you've not signed a free agent. So you've not brought in one player via free agency.
That's inexcusable.
It is inexcusable.
With the Rockies.
That's right. You're so scared of making a mistake with a player, of signing the next Pablo Sandoval, Ruznay Castillo, Carl Crawford type contract, that you are now in paralysis or analysis paralysis. You'd rather not do anything because you're so worried about spending the money on a player that you don't know or don't trust.
And you would think there'd be some level of confidence. The one time that they got uncomfortable, the one time they stepped out of their comfort zone and actually went in and made a move was Crochet.
Right.
Nailed it.
Right.
No one would argue that. And everyone was okay giving up the prospects in the process of that. Of course, there's some prospects that you hold on to. But for the most part, and from a fan level as well, you're looking at it, they don't care about the nameless, faceless prospects just because they have the number 8 in the prospect system next to them.
Right.
That doesn't mean anything to the fans. They're totally fine with moving them on. And the organization should be as well, because in order to get some nice things, you have to give things up.
Right.
There's a little bit of like Danny Ainge in this, where they're just so afraid they always have to try to win the trades, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. It's, unless you're picking off the scrap heap here in a way by going after a team that's gutting their roster and a guy that you used to do business with, that used to work with you. So it's a little bit different.
So catcher, I think you're in a better spot. First base, Casas versus Contreras, I think much you're better. Also in a better spot. Second base, you have an incomplete grade right now. At least you thought, I think you thought it was Christian Campbell at this point last year, I would guess. Trevor Story proved a lot in 2025, but there's also a very good potential that he regresses in 2026. So that's a wash for the time being. Third base, you're now worse. You've gotten worse twice. You had Devers, and then you went to Bregman, which, there are certain defensive benefits, but then now you're from Bregman to insert name here. Marcelo Meyer, Nick Sogard, whoever, David Hamilton, Romy Gonzalez, whoever's going to play there. And then you're outfield. So, a lot of this to me, it's hard for me to go through position by position and unequivocally say you're worse. It's hard for me to do that because you've also upgrade. You also have Roman Anthony. That is now an upgrade from what you were rolling out in the outfield last year. You now have him on top of Rafaela, Duran, and Abreu. So I'm not comfortable saying you're unequivocally worse, but man, are you missing some thump in that lineup. You are missing something that could have so easily been solved by Pete Alonso this
offseason.
And it
was such an affordable deal. Like it was right there.
Yes.
It was right there. And he was a free agent. It's not like they had to give up anything. You didn't have to trade.
Right.
It was right there.
And it was three years. What was the 3 years and 85 they offered or something with an option or deferrals?
The biggest thing with that too is they were reportedly afraid to offer him a longer term deal because of his age. Yet every player they've brought in is older than him.
That's right.
At least be consistent. At least be consistent in your messaging. How is he too? Worst comes to worst, you don't play him at first place, he goes to DH. Like, what? I don't understand it. And the guys that they signed are older at more athletic positions.
But they played for Chaim Bloom.
Yeah.
But I know Chaim Bloom. I had lunch with him once. So I can trust that he's giving
Sick
me a guy.
Brag,
that's
gonna, bro.
Not me. I'm speaking as Red Sox front office members. Can you imagine if I did that? That would
be
a
cool.
Lot of fun. That would
That'd
be fun.
An awkward conversation.
I
feel like he wouldn't be able to hold the conversation.
I would tend to agree, but if you could get like a little bit of liquid confidence in him, I would love to hear some of the dirty
tea,
details
right?
of work. Yeah, sure. Yeah. I would love to hear some of the dirty details from Chaim Bloom on what he was told by ownership while he was working here, what the edict was of this is what you need to do to our roster and what you need to do to our bottom line. If you could ever get that kind of truth out of Chaim Bloom, I would sit there for hours listening to him tell me about John Henry, telling him, no, you got to trade Mookie, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to cut payroll, we got to be here by the end of the year. Would love to hear that information from him.
Imagine the Mookie.
There's a book in there somewhere.
There has to be.
Yeah.
It's like the Malcolm Butler thing. You know, that has to come out eventually, right?
I should. Absolutely.
What does Chaim Bloom owe the Red Sox?
Nothing.
Like, why don't you just go out and say it?
They brought him in and then almost single-handedly, like, ruined his reputation. I'm not saying that he didn't have a hand in that, but, I mean, his reputation was unbelievably damaged after his time with the Red Sox. And I think that, and I do still believe that he was acting at the behest of ownership to try to make their organization more streamlined and efficient, as Craig Breslow now peddles. But, anyways, the ultimate end of the conversation being, are the Red Sox better in 2026 right now going into the next year than they were in 2025? Yeah. After this exercise, I can't say yes to that.
Yeah, no. I'd have to agree. I mean, you'd be kind of just banking on Roman Anthony. I think that would be it. Who was on the roster, obviously. It was in the organization last year, but not on the active roster.
Yeah.
And coming up and doing what he did. But just looking at it, what you entered the season with last year, you feel a lot better with that. I mean, they were picked to win the AL by a lot of people. Like, a lot of talking heads had them to win the AL. And, you know, they felt very confident in what they did in the offseason last year. I don't think you can necessarily say the same this year.
401 is very upset. First time I vehemently disagree, they are not better. Yeah, I honestly feel like we're maybe even being on the softer side of the the breakdown of the talent of the Red Sox that year over year in 2025 and 26. Okay, so we'll leave that conversation there. We got just a couple minutes coming up here on WEEI before we get you into coverage of college football bowl season. We got three bowl games coming up today, and we'll wrap up our show after Jackson tells you what's trending.
ESPN's Adam Schefter joins WEEI Afternoons every Wednesday at 3:45. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending brought to you by Mario's Roofing. We won't soak you to keep you warm and dry. The Patriots will play the Dolphins on Sunday. If they get the win and Denver loses or ties, they get the number one seed. And if they tie and Denver loses, they still have the number one seed. So looking good for the Patriots. The Celtics, they beat the Jazz last night, 129-119 in Utah. And Derek White led all scorers with 27 points. The Bruins take their six-game losing streak on the road to play the Pacific Division-leading Oilers. Puck drops at 9:30 tonight in Edmonton. And, oh, yeah, Steph Diggs, he's in some deep trouble. He's facing felony strangulation or suffocation charges. He denies the charges, and the team's supporting him for now. Stick it with WEI for the latest on that. And Mario's Roofing, homeowners choose Mario's Roofing because they're fair, honest, and provide quality services. Call Mario's Roofing today for a free estimate at 71-344-2420. And also, got a great slate of college football games for you today. Bowl games, if you will. We have the ReliaQuest Bowl with Iowa versus Vanderbilt at 11:30. And we have Michigan versus Texas after that. And then tonight, the Cotton Bowl Miami versus the Ohio State. I am Jackson. That's what's trending on WEI and WEI.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Just a couple minutes left here on WEEI before we get you into coverage of not one, not two, but three bowl games here today. We have the ReliaQuest Bowl featuring Iowa and Vanderbilt with coverage beginning at the bottom of the hour. 11:30 is when we hand it over to ESPN Radio. Then the Citrus Bowl, Michigan against Texas. And tonight at 7 o'clock, the quarterfinals, the Cotton Bowl tonight, Miami against Ohio State. So again, 1, 2, and 3 tomorrow. Tune in at 10 a.m. until noon. You got Scott McLaughlin and Tom Carroll with you on New Year's Day. They will be the first voices that you hear, local voices that you hear here on EEI to begin 2026.
Speaking of which,
yeah, I know. Get your sick brag, bro, ready so I can complete my sentence. I did
he's
the
grinning ear to ear. Back
I know,
there.
I know. This is one that I'm earning. So
I'm sorry.
I was the I did that New Year's Day shift last year, 10 to 1, whatever. And to the corner office, no, I wasn't hungover while I was doing it. So that I was the first local host at the beginning of 2025, and you and I, Terp, are ending the last local host in 2025 here on EEI.
Sick brag, bro.
So I find that pretty cool. That's something I really appreciate, is now just jumping into my second year here on the station to be able to do that and spend the holidays with all of you is a lot of fun. So thank you for spending some time with us today. Of all of the Boston athletes in 2025, Justin Turpin, who is the MVP of Boston sports?
Drake May. For 2025, it has to be Drake May.
Yes!
I am in agreement, although I'm a little bit surprised. I'm a little surprised you didn't say Jaylen Brown.
I think just because, obviously, well, they have a lot of season left to go.
They do.
First of all, he obviously, at the end of 2025, for things that was out of his control at the end of last season, obviously dealing with the knee injury,
yeah,
wasn't at his best.
Okay.
And he was great in game five when they got back here and forced a game six. That was one of the best games he's ever played. And he's been great. But right now, they haven't really established. They haven't done much yet. They haven't done anything yet. They're okay. One of the better teams in the league.
Yep.
They're a third in the East. They have the fourth best net rating. They're playing great. He's the major reason as to why. But Drake May has the Patriots in the playoffs. They have won the AFC East for the first time since Tom Brady left. Like, that's MVP level stuff right there.
That is.
Jaylen Brown's been great, and who knows? Like, if the Celtics can make a run, and I mean, even winning a playoff game or playoff series rather for the Celtics would be an overachievement, I think, in the eyes of many. And if he can get them there, then that'd be great. But right now, just Jaylen hasn't had enough opportunity yet because they're a little over a quarter way through the season. We're not even at the All-Star break, so it's a little bit too early to have that when Drake May has the Patriots where they're at right now.
And I think it's going to be – it may be a little while before we have a conversation about year-end MVPs in Boston where it's not Drake May. I would love for it to be Roman Anthony, for example, at the end of this year. But there doesn't seem to be much slowing Drake May down as the years goes along here. So it's going to be real interesting if we're sitting here in 365 days, if we're saying, yep, another year where Drake reigns supreme. But so you have the Patriots going into the playoffs in a couple of weeks, trying to hunt down a championship. You have the Celtics and Bruins in midseason, and now you have the Red Sox in their offseason. Do we celebrate a Boston sports championship in 2026?
I don't see it. As much yeah. as it would be a lot of fun, it would be a lot of fun, yes.
I was hoping you'd say yes, because I wasn't going
to
say
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I don't see it. But you have to be happy with where they're at. Just think about where each team was. We've been talking about the Patriots. They had 3 wins last year. The last one doesn't count, so they had 4 wins. Now they had a chance to be the number one team in the AFC, and they're the division champs in year one of a rebuild. That's huge. The Celtics, no one expected them to be 3rd in the Eastern Conference, well within the playoff picture, and possibly even better when Jason Tatum comes back. Again, I'm not putting expectations on him to be an All-NBA player, but he'll be back. The Red Sox, let's see what they do. And the Bruins, you know, they're in a transition period. Yeah, but you feel better about all these teams.
Yeah, they're out there. They're skating around. Terp, happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you.
Pleasure to work with you, Jackson. Great job as always. That's it for us. We got coverage of college football coming up at 11:30 here on WEEI. Be safe out there today. I know there's a lot of good times going around, so make sure you get a ride if you don't have one. If you're drinking, you're not driving, all that kind of fun stuff. We'll see you in the new year.
You have to hit on these younger guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.